Christ in Ministry, Teachings of Jesus, Part 1. When we look at Jesus Christ in ministry, His teachings stand out as life-changing. We see what came before and glimpses of what is to come. This article is one of an 8-part series on Jesus Christ. Starting with His beginning. Before we look at His ministry, there are some critical points for us to consider about Him. Jesus was a simple carpenter living in a small town, making a living for his family until he reached his 30th birthday. He did not have any special training besides the synagogue training that all young Jewish boys received. He learned the scriptures and memorized large sections, as they all did. The Mishnah, a written record of the oral traditions of Jesus' time, tells us about their practice. Young boys start as young as 5 to study the written Torah. By 12 or 13, they become religious adults, having memorized large portions. At the age of 20, they were to learn a trade and be fully qualified by 30. At that time, they could change professions if they wanted. Jesus may have continued his studies to the age of 15, as some of the more gifted students did. People did not have the scriptures in their homes and went to the synagogues to study. If they were wealthy, they might have a small part copied by a scribe. However, faithful Jewish men committed large portions of the Torah to memory. Jesus matured in his structured environment. And at 30, he left the carpenter shop to fulfill his earthly mission. When it was time for Jesus to start his ministry, he went down to the Jordan where John was baptizing, and John baptized him. Jesus told John that it was to fulfill all righteousness. In Luke 3, verse 21 and 22, the scripture tells us, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.' When he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him." What a powerful affirmation from God that Jesus is indeed his Son. The voice of God then speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." After the Spirit descended upon him, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. During this time, Luke tells us, the devil tempted him with all manner of temptations. He lists a few so we can understand. At the end of Jesus' fast, when hunger returned, Satan tempted him to use his authority to turn the stones into bread. Hunger is a powerful motivator. However, Jesus quoted scripture to Satan instead of doing what Satan said. Jesus answered temptation as we should, with God's word. Jesus could have turned the stones into bread. He chose not to and answered Satan. We have these words in Luke 4:4. "But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.'" We should remember that Jesus said his disciples would also fast when he no longer was with them. Therefore, when we face an important decision, we should always pray, fast, and seek God's leading before proceeding. After his fast in the wilderness, he immediately started teaching with power about the coming kingdom and the ways of God. From this point on, he was on his way to Calvary. He knew that we needed a Savior to pay the price for our sins and that he was here for that purpose. It is here we see the beginning of Christ in ministry. The teachings of Jesus start at this point and continue to the end. In Luke 4, verses 14 and 15, the scripture says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." As the Son of God, he could teach with authority and complete certainty. The people responded to his teachings in the synagogues and the signs he did. Crowds began to follow him to learn more and to witness the miracles, such as healing of the sick. The synagogue or assembly was the center of Jewish life. The synagogue was their church and school, and they gathered there for other events. The Jewish people also referred to the synagogue as a temple or shul. Jesus went from synagogue to synagogue in Galilee, teaching till he arrived home in Nazareth. As a young adult in Nazareth, Jesus would have taken his turn reading the Torah on the Sabbaths that the synagogue attendant had scheduled. Now returning, the attendant gave him the honor and passed him the scroll. Luke 4, verse 16 and 17. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. As he began to read, they were at first pleased to see him and have him teach. He was a hometown boy who had made a name for himself teaching in other synagogues. They heard of the miracles that he had performed. He had done in other towns, and I am sure they wanted to see the same in Nazareth. The scripture they gave him to read was from Isaiah, in what we now call chapter 61, starting with verse 18. We have it also recorded by Luke in 4, 18 through 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." After he read, they all marveled at his abilities and presentation, asking themselves, "Is not this Joseph's son?" They did not even notice when he told them in the 21st verse, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus told them in this verse that he was the Messiah Isaiah spoke of in this scripture. However, they did not become angry until he went a little farther. It was when he reminded them that they wanted to see the things done in Nazareth that they had heard he had done in Capernaum. In verse 24, he says, Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. He then reminded them of how God had done many things outside of Israel because of their unbelief. At this point, the teachings of Jesus got him into trouble. However, Jesus was not stopped. He had come to teach about the kingdom, and he continued until he was crucified 3 years later. His march to Calvary started here in this verse. But first, he started teaching God's truth as no one had ever taught it before or since. Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." As I've noted above, he starts teaching God's word in the synagogues. His teaching was not just reciting the Old Testament scriptures. He was able to bring life into it. His word touched the hearts of those who listened. The teachings of Jesus stood out because he taught with authority, unlike the other teachers. The other teachers knew the scriptures and how other teachers had interpreted them. Jesus knew the truth of God. As the Gospel of John says, he was the Word. Christ in ministry was new and living. He spoke with the authority that God gave him. Mark tells us in Mark 1:22, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Yes, he taught with authority. The scribes had the written word. Jesus was the word, as the Gospel of John says in John 1:1-5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The scribes could only teach what they had learned from another man who had learned from someone before him. Jesus knew not just the scriptures, but the complete truth behind every word he revealed. He was the author as well as the teacher. When Jesus spoke, it was God talking to men. Have you ever wanted God to speak directly to you? You can have that today as you study your Bible. The teachings of Jesus are God speaking words to you. If you've made Jesus Lord of your life, you have his Spirit living in you. It will help you understand when God speaks to you through the Word. The most extensive example of Jesus' teaching is in Matthew 5:6-7. We often call these scriptures the Sermon on the Mount because the scripture tells us he went up a mountain and taught them. I want to make a note here. If you're studying the ministry of Jesus with me, take time to read each chapter several times. See what Jesus is saying. What strikes me is how early in his ministry he started dealing with the misuse of the law. He states his purpose in the following verse, Matthew 5:17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill the law and help us understand how complete it is. Although the law could not save us, it was good as a schoolmaster to help us learn God's ways. It gives the basics of right and wrong. We do need to understand what God labels as wrong or sinful. When a Pharisee asked Jesus what the most important law is, Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. It would be best if you remember this critical scripture as we examine some of the laws Jesus discusses. They are revolutionary. You will see how each scripture will point out that the law is much broader than the Jewish leaders viewed it. God created a nation through Abraham's descendants that he called Israel. One of its primary purposes was to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah and to show the world the light of God's word. However, the Israelites failed to reveal God to the world. Instead, they became so involved in making the law fit their desires that they looked down on the world and did little to influence it. Jesus points out to them in Matthew 5, 14 and 16, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The Israelites should have been a light to the Gentile world. Instead, they studied what God gave them and excluded everyone else. They took the law of God and the prophets and created a complex system that no one could follow. They missed the great depth of God's love shown in the law. But Jesus fulfills the law. Jesus clearly stated that he did not come to get rid of the law or the prophets. In Matthew 5, 17, he says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." The law defined right and wrong. This does not change regardless of what laws man makes. The truth revealed in the law, God's law, when applied, make life better for everyone. Man's law tends to divide and lead to more sin. Jesus not only taught the law as no one had ever taught it before, but he opened it up and showed us the depth of God's law. The life and teachings of Jesus fulfilled the law. The scribes and Pharisees were the religious leaders or preachers of the day. Therefore, the people considered them moral authorities. However, Jesus saw them differently. In Matthew 5:20, he says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, the scribes and Pharisees defined the law in a way that was physical and not spiritual. Jesus shows them on the mount the depth of the spiritual interpretation of the same laws. He teaches on murder. Murder begins in the heart of man, and Jesus started there. In Matthew 5:21, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment." They understood that killing one another was a sin. What Jesus explained was that murder started in the heart. It began with anger. In the following 22nd verse, Jesus expands on the relation of anger to murder. He told them that when they are angry without a cause, they are in danger of judgment, and even name-calling can endanger their soul. Being right with your brother is so important that Jesus says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." How often should we have left our offering before the altar and got right with our brother or sister before returning to make the offering? Until next time, thank you for studying with me.